over first place in the NFC North as they continue to win and some other teams continue to fall. In this week's episode in the Gridiron Podcast, we will be talking about the NFC North and how they did this previous week, as well as some interesting controversy and also previewing next week's games in the NFC North. I am your host, Michael, as Nick is unfortunately not here due to technical difficulties. I will begin the show by talking about a game that had some controversy to it, you know, may or may not have really had an impact, but nonetheless, let's get right into the Eagles' win over the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the refs in the play that with TJ Hockenson, the touchdown, is not the reason why the Eagles won this game. However, the question I had for Nick, which unfortunately he's not here to answer this with me and discuss it with me, I think that, you know, New York having an impact on these games over the refs is something to be questioned. Now, I'm not a Minnesota Vikings guy, and I'm certainly not making excuses, but I definitely think TJ Hockenson, whether or not he made the touchdown or not, the refs made a call on the field, calling it a touchdown, and therefore, I think it should have been a touchdown. If that's what the refs called, that's what the refs called. There's no way that should be overturned. I understand New York has a quote-unquote special angle, but the refs on the field are the ones who are there at the game, controlling the calls, making the calls, and I think what they call should go, because if it's not a play where it's a scoring play or, you know, some sort of technicality where it has to be reviewed, like a unsportsmanlike conduct or, you know, should a player get, you know, ejected from the game, you know, a holding call, a DPI, OPI, you know, face mask is all called by referees in the game who are there. Therefore, I think the refs should be able to determine what a touchdown is, what's not, based on the scoring review that they already have. I don't know how New York can overweigh refs at the game. I'm just really confused by that. And I think it really does weigh an issue to how these games could be called in the future. Now, going into this game, though, I will say, you know, it's not like the Vikings defense stopped the Eagles offense by any means. Jalen Hurts had 300 yards passing, and A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, had a good game against this Vikings secondary who has really been slipping as of lately. And notably, on the defensive side of the ball, Ivan Pace Jr. got zero snaps in this game, which is surprising because he's been a player for the Vikings defense, and seeing that, it is pretty surprising. But nonetheless, it seems like Carson Wentz has definitely come back down to earth, and he's slipping, throwing interceptions. So the Vikings definitely have some problems going forward. Right now, they're a major pretender. I don't think they're as competitive as what we thought they would be coming out of the season, especially having QB issues. I mean, that's definitely a problem, as well as the running game, as per usual with the Minnesota Vikings. So with that being said, I'm going to shift over into the next game with the Chicago Bears against the New Orleans Saints. And to be honest, it was a snoozer of a game. Now, there are many things to say about the Chicago Bears in this game. Caleb Williams did not play that well, and he's missing throws, missing some easy throws here and there. But the nice thing for the Chicago Bears in this win is even though they really just wanted the Saints to come back in this game, they were able to win by 12, and that's still a comfortable win, you know, even when your QB is not having the best of days. I think that, you know, they should have won this game by at least 17 plus. I don't think that it should have been this close as it was. I think that, you know, Spencer Rattler made some bad plays, threw a bad pick down the stretch. The Bears defense played pretty well for the most part. You know, DeAndre Swift had another monster game. So that's big for the Chicago Bears. You know, it is against the New Orleans Saints. What can you really say, you know, besides the Bears should have won this one anyways? The Bears are back to 4-2. We've seen them in this position before, and honestly, the schedule only gets easier for them. So that's something to note and something to go forward about. Since there's really nothing else to talk about with the Bears in this game besides, Montez Sweat had finally a fumble created in this game, which was notable. But Chicago, they should have won this game anyways. It's the New Orleans Saints, probably the worst team in football right now. I mean, after the Jets somehow. But they win and they move up to 4-2, which is good. But I'm going to talk about the Green Bay Packers because this game was probably the closest of all NFC North games this past week for some reason. I know I keep on bringing it up week after week with the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur. The creativity, it's just lackluster week in, week out. And I like Matt LaFleur as a coach. I think that he's definitely a guy to keep, but the offense, the defense, it just seems like there's no energy on the road, especially. I don't understand the slow start to the first half, especially. I mean, the Cardinals did a phenomenal job of keeping Jordan Love and the offense off the field. The Packers only had three drives in the first half, and they finished with 10, 3 points, I believe, 6 points rather, because Luke Habersick kicked a massive 61-yard field goal, which makes the franchise record. So a guy who probably won't be on the roster makes a franchise record kick. Makes it look easy, by the way. Shout out Luke Habersick. Nonetheless, back half of this game, it was quite interesting. The offense finally came alive, scored a touchdown in the third, but the Cardinals matched that. And Micah Parsons on the defensive side of the ball had a great game. He had, I believe, three sacks, 10 pressures himself, and some tackle for losses. I can't remember the number on the top of my head, but more of that to come. The one issue that I definitely want to talk about with this Packers defense is the secondary. Nate Hobbs, I was intrigued by the signing in the offseason, and I was interested to see what this guy's capable of, especially getting a 4-year, $48 million contract, which isn't big by any means, but you're signing him for 4 years. So you definitely see some sort of extension in his game that you want to keep in Green Bay. This game, however, was quite awful by Nate Hobbs in terms of coverage and penalties. Crucial last drive of the game, he makes a terrible, terrible, I believe it was either holding or defensive pass interference, which led the Cardinals down the field. He also had a busted coverage, which was god awful. Nate Hobbs showing that our corners are pretty weak, pretty thin. However, another thing too is Trey McBride's touchdown, I believe, before the half. It was a busted coverage. The Packers are playing the soft zone coverage. Once again, corners are going up to a certain point, dumping the receiver off to the safety. Now, Trey McBride, one of the only Cardinals targets on the offense, somehow was wide open, a little crossing route. Keyshawn Nixon, unfortunately, ran with him too far, or not Trey McBride, but Keyshawn Nixon ran too much with another receiver, left Trey McBride wide open, and that's what created the touchdown there. It was a busted coverage. I believe Xavier McKinney was the one in the backfield who should have picked him up, but did not. There's a lot of issues, honestly. These games are too close lately with last week against the Bengals. I mean, you could say the Packers were in control of that game, but it was pretty close. This week against the Cardinals, which no disrespect to the Cardinals, they're actually an interesting team. I thought they were one of my dark horse teams this year. They're very close in all these games. I think they lost three or four games now in one score, three games to game-winning field goals. They're not a bad team, and Jacoby Brissett played a great game. But another thing I want to talk about too with Jacoby Brissett is the Packers defense were giving him everything once again. Jeff Hafley, we saw it week one and week two, the pressure, the blitzes, and the Packers are back to playing zone coverage. It's not an issue, but when you're giving them, little stick routes, curl routes, running back, wheel routes, they're going to take those 5, 6, 7 yards every time. It's frustrating to watch because these corners are, they, I don't want to say they're not talented enough, but certainly not. Not right now. And shout out Quay Walker, had a great game. I think that it was a great showing from him. But on the other side of the ball, getting back to the offense, Josh Jacobs, even though he wasn't 100%, he gave it all he could today or Sunday. And, you know, when we needed him the most, he definitely gave us what we needed. So it came down to the last drive of the game where the Cardinals were literally driving on our own 25 or 30, I believe. And it came down to a big Micah Parsons sack, which led to a fourth down and a Hail Mary attempt from Jacoby Brissett. Going forward, I mean, we need Matt LaFleur to really start getting out the play calls that we need because or we've seen before. Not this too creative. You know, he might be too creative. And that's what's probably killing him is he thinks it's gonna work, it's gonna be creative. He's probably being too creative. And honestly, when you go back to basics, you know, a little tight end, you know, boot, fake block, go out. You know, going into next week, you know, I want to say the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 4-2, little preview before the preview. This defense isn't that good. And if it's a close game, I'm not saying the Packers should necessarily just run away with this game by 20, but certainly should be able to score more points and not get outdriven or time of possession, rather, like the Cardinals did the first half. Off of the Cardinals Packers game, the Packers are moving up to 4-1-1, taking the first place spot in the NFC North as well as the NFC right now. We'll see if that continues. Coming up next, I'm going to talk about the Lions Buccaneers to finish out the Sunday's games into well, Monday Night Football as well. And yeah, we'll get into it. The Detroit Lions won 24-9 on Monday Night Football. Honestly, it wasn't good for the Buccaneers. I thought this game would be a little more competitive, especially because the Buccaneers, I know they have a lot of injuries, and that's definitely played a factor into this game, but Baker Mayfield seemed really off. You know, he was missing throws. So it was really just, I mean, I don't want to say it's a complete off game from the Bucs, but all that stuff combined certainly didn't help them. On the flip side, I definitely want to say this Lions defense, it does look a lot better. I think, well, obviously than last year's because they're healthier, but also it just seems a lot more, there's a lot more pressure. And I like what the Lions are doing on the defense side of the ball. I think it's actually better than last year's defense, what it can be. So that's something to look out for. I know the offense definitely taking a step back, but you know, still Jared Goff, definitely still one of the best quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion, as well as the best running back duo in the league as well. So this game wasn't a whole lot here because of how bad the Buccaneers played, but that's how good the Detroit Lions are still. And you know, despite the Lions being in second place at really 5-5-2 now, you know, they're still a team in the NFC North to watch out for. I don't think, you know, week one's matchup was necessarily, you know, something we can keep on holding with the Packers and Lions and how the Packers, you know, dominated that game. I think that going forward, you have to watch out if you are the Packers for this Lions team because they're a competitive, hard-fighting team. Obviously, Dan Campbell, great coach. I think that, you know, we cannot hold on to week one if, you know, we want to win this division. We got to continue to get better as the Packers are winning, but they aren't really necessarily wins. As Xavier McKinney said, that it shouldn't have came down to the fourth quarter in this game, and they got to play a lot better. So, Packers definitely have a lot to work on going forward, and the Detroit Lions are coming up despite being 5-2, despite their losses against good teams. I mean, they're still a team to watch out for. This week, the Vikings are playing the LA Chargers on Thursday Night Football. It'll be a good game, I think. Vikings and Chargers right now without Hampton, pretty tough. I mean, the Chargers got handled by the Indianapolis Colts. I do think it's a home game. I just am not sold on this Vikings team to bounce back and, win these close one possession games or, come out like they did against the Bengals and dominate. I do see the Chargers having a bounce back game here. I think the Minnesota secondary is struggling at the moment, so I do have the Chargers winning this one. I would say 27 to 17 to 19. 27-19 Chargers. I think the Vikings fall here again. The Chicago Bears are taking on the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. Now, I think the Chicago Bears are actually on a high, and I think they do have great potential to win this game. I think that, well, without Lamar Jackson, it's pretty tough to give the Ravens any sort of credit at the moment. Without a quarterback, it's pretty tough, despite all the talent on the roster. But that team is falling apart. The Ravens are falling apart. I got the Chicago Bears, sadly. I think it'll be a closer game. I think it'll be like 26 to 17. It won't be a, blowout, or it won't be a. It'll be a tight game. It'll be a tight game for the Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens, despite the Ravens having a, backup quarterback. I don't think the Chicago Bears are fully in form, and Caleb Williams, it's all dependent on him if he can play a clean game. We'll see if he can bounce back, especially against a bad team like the New Orleans Saints. He didn't play the best, so we will definitely keep an eye out for that. Next up, we got the Green Bay Packers taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, which will be an interesting one with Jordan Love versus Aaron Rodgers. I'm super stoked for this game. I mean, I got to take my Packers, of course, but the Steelers are 4-2. They are in first place in the AFC North. I just do not think that they're legit. I think they're a fraudulent 4-2 team. The defense does not look that good, the secondary especially. I think Jordan Love can definitely have a bounce back game here. I also would like to see Josh Jacobs definitely get the run game going because I don't think that Pittsburgh D-line is nearly as good as some of the D-lines the Packers have already played. So we'll see what can happen going forward this week, which I'm super excited for with the Packers game, Sunday Night Football. It'll be a banger one way or another. I'm hoping it's not a close game like the other games were. I'm hoping Matt LaFleur can definitely put his all into this game because it'll be a statement game if Aaron Rodgers wins. Unfortunately, guys, this was a short one. I apologize for that. Nick is unfortunately not here again, so we could not have that camaraderie and conversation, which I'd hoped for. With that being said, I appreciate you guys listening as always to the Gridiron Podcast. We are on any sort of platform where you guys listen to podcasts. Definitely leave a comment if you are on YouTube to leave us your opinions, and we will get back to you as always. Appreciate you guys listening, and we'll see you next week.